message.
Hey man, you suck.
End of message. To erase this message, press 7. To save it, press 9. Resaved. Next message.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. I don't know the words to the rest of the song.
Security alert, all decks.
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your system sucks.
Hey, I don't believe that any system is totally secure.
Remember, hacking is more than just a crime.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
That I need to know, and I need to know now.
You are listening to Radio Free America.
Yes, this is the Xmas special. I am Dual Parallel, and this is Xmas, E-X-M-A-S-S. Thank you to Meme for giving us this great name. You know, I wanted, like I said last show, I wanted something freaking crazy, blasphemous, death, freaking cannibal corpse. Yeah, and she got it, and I love it. We actually are doing something unprecedented in internet radio, and this is, we've got a con line going on. And we got a lot of people on the line right now. And I'm going to go around the quote room right now. Again, I'm Dual, joined by Brax.
And that's, by the way, that's X-Mass. It means we used to have mass, and now we're completely without mass because we're just all in the ether.
That's right. We're all using the force flowing through everything. Everybody is flowing through each other. We also have, very especially, I was very happy about this, Meme.
Hello.
Meme, I'm so glad you're here. Your art is awesome, by the way. It's up on the site. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah, hopefully if the feds are looking at us, you know, have a wider audience.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll love the Air America. I like the 666, by the way. Also joined by Zapper.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Dude, you notice I didn't save you for last? Isn't that nice of me?
Absolutely, man. If we were going to do the alphabetical thing, man, that was going to be like the last 10 minutes of the show.
And, of course, Mute.
What up?
What up? Mute in the house. And last, and the best, Stank.
Yo, we're in the studio house. What's up?
What's up, Stank?
Stank.
What's up, man? Where do you get that shit? Hey, is BIOS coming on?
Hey.
BIOS?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Not much. I've been sitting here in the background listening.
Hell yeah, DRF, it looks nice, dude.
Oh, you like it?
A lot. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I still need to get the domain name switched over.
Dude, I can't believe how good this Conline sounds. It sounds so good. There's, like, no vox. It's really, really nice.
Yeah, everything's real clear.
Okay, everything is thrown out the window for this show, man. This is full-up freestyle. We got, actually, a contract for everybody listening. You know, because we're all, well, nah, I'm not going to get into religion. I don't know if anybody knows how I feel about it, but... That is brutal, dude. She's jamming the show right now, dude. That's what I love. All right, we got a contract, a holiday contract that Mute is going to read. Go for it, dude.
All right, lawyer approved / limited liability / politically correct seasonal greetings, i.e. Merry Christmas, from me, the Wisher, to you here and after called the Wishy. Please accept without obligation, implied or implicit, my best wishes for an environmentally conscious, socially responsible, low stress, non-addictive, gender neutral celebration of the winter solstice holidays. Practice within the most enjoyable traditions of the religious persuasion of your choice or secular practices of your choice with respect for the religious / secular persuasions and or traditions of others or to choice not to practice religions or secular traditions at all. In a financially successful, personal fulfilling, and medically uncomplicated recognition of the onset of the generally accepted calendar year, but with due respect for the calendars of choice of other cultural sects, and having regard to race, creed, color, age, physical ability, religious faith, choice of computer platform, or dietary preference of the Wishy. By accepting this greeting, you are bound by these terms. The greeting is subject to further clarification or withdrawal. This greeting is freely transferable, providing no alteration shall be made to the original greeting, and that the proprietary rights of the Wisher are acknowledged. The greeting implies no promise by the Wisher to actually implement any of these wishes. The greeting may not be enforceable in certain jurisdictions, and or the restrictions herein may not be binding upon certain wishes in certain jurisdictions and is revocable at the sole discretion of the Wisher. The greeting is warranted to perform as reasonably may be expected with unusual application of good tidings for a period of 1 year or until the issuance of a subsequent holiday greeting, whichever comes first. The Wisher warrants the greeting only for a limited replacement of this wish or issuance of a new wish at the sole discretion of the Wisher. Any references in this greeting to the Lord, Father Christmas, or Our Savior, or any other festive figures, whether actual or fictitious, dead or alive, shall not imply any endorsement by or from them in respect of this greeting. And all proprietary rights in any reference, third-party names, images are hereby acknowledged.
Amen.
Amen. That says it all. Good night, everybody. That's everything right there, dude. That is our country. That is this holiday in a nutshell.
Nah, if it's like Microsoft, it'd be like, please click here if you agree.
Okay, if you agree, beeping in.
Exactly, man.
Still going to be offended somehow, I bet you.
Probably. I'm offended right now. Okay, I want, you know, actually, this has been coming up a lot lately for me, and that is, I don't know, slimy salespeople, consumerism, people shoving shit down your throat. You know, like, I would go, just recently, I went out to my lowrider, right? And there's an orange something, sticky, post-it, stuck on the rearview mirror, or, you know, on the side mirror. And so I grabbed it, here it is. And, boy, man, I thought it was a ticket or something. Your truck's too low. I don't know what I was going to say. But you know what it was? It was a freaking advertisement from Check and Go, these rip-off cash advance places. And they would just go around and stick them on people's cars right outside my house. That pissed me off.
Lucky, I've come out of stores and seen multiple flyers on my windshield.
I hate that. I do not touch my truck. Worse, and I'll tell you what I do after this happens. So people would go, you know, I don't know what, you know, who they get, the, you know, who they hire to do this, but they have people walk around neighborhoods and actually stick, physically stick, using tape, something, advertisements to my door. It has happened twice to me, and both times I promptly took that advertisement, went back to the store, took an old school freak sticker, and slapped it on their freaking window. Bastards.
Dude, I've
got that on the stickers
so
and action page.
Just on our freaking front door, we get like 8 advertisements a day, and I'm like, I want to literally go to every one of those places and get one of those big yellow warning stickers and stick it on every one of their cars.
Do it! They do it! How dare they stick something on my house? That is just such bullshit. So I went back right in their front door. They were open and everything. Oldschoolfreak.com, baby. bam, right on their freaking door. So if you want to call Check and Go, please abuse them liberally. 800-561-CASH. That's right, 800-561-CASH.
Flood the lines. That's a lot.
Yeah, please. DOS these people.
Flood the lines. Now, did I ask to have advertisement on the show? Come on, man. You're advertising on the show.
That is not advertisement. That is call them up and F with them, dude. No, this is that.
We get those a lot at the university, even though there's rules against it. They come out and stick cars on all the students' parking lots for every fitness center in the whole friggin' state of Florida.
Sure.
Fix that shit on the car, and it really, it's one of my pet peeves, and what really pisses me off is somebody stuck it in, it was same as yours, in the mirror, and it had rained that day, and I came out, and it was all fucking pulp and melted and shit all down in my mirror, and it pissed me off so bad.
Lovely.
That crap with newspapers, too, and when there's a storm or a monsoon, all that little add-on crap that they put on the papers and the handbills that they leave at people's doors blow all over the place, and it's like a toilet papering, you know.
Yeah.
I think we could get them for littering or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's in the environment, and it's like if people knew what kind of sludge was in printer's ink, yeah, they wouldn't want this stuff, like, blowing around like it is.
Right, seeping into their yards. Yeah, not to mention all the crap you get in the mail. I mean, how much of our country's resources are wasted? Unwanted stuff. I never look at this stuff, ever. It's not even addressed. It's just stacks of garbage. It's not a mailbox. It's a freaking garbage can.
Hey, so spam was around before the internet was around, so don't forget that, it, you know, the original spam is that crap they've been sending us for years.
It is. Now tell me, everybody, tell me, would this be, I've thought about this a lot. Saving the stuff, saving stacks of the stuff, and going to the post office, and I know those poor people, they're just doing their job. They're at the mercy of the people with the big money. But going back and say, you know, and dropping it right on the counter, how do I stop this? You know, making a statement, you know, standing in line with stacks of this stuff, right?
They charge you. I went and did that. They want to charge you to get not get that stuff. You have to pay to not be harassed.
It's like
that shit.
Number being unlisted. You have to pay for that. It actually costs them money to publish it. You're doing them a favor by opting out, and they want to charge you for doing them that courtesy.
I have a little trick. By the way, the phone companies don't respect that. They still call you anyway.
Yes, they do. Very true. We talked about it on the last show. I am it's non-published service, unlisted and non-published service, which is $2 a month. And it doesn't matter. They'll sell your numbers. They'll call you. It's a bunch of crap.
Thanks so much these days. If you have any kind of credit card, you need to read the really fine print and really grill them on it, because they sell those lists. We get hammered so much that it just literally drives me nuts.
Especially American Express. They're the worst.
Really?
With the phone company, you know, you're paying them to have a non-published number, and they call you anyway. So one time I told them, you know, take me off your list. Well, most of our companies said, take me off your list. I got a letter back from a quote-unquote vice president at Quest. It's like, well, most of our customers enjoy hearing about our stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, F you. We're not most of your customers, bastard.
Like how gleeful they are when they're reading off the script and don't pronounce your name properly, and there's this pregnant pause. Like, you pick up the phone, and you go, hello? Hello? And then you hear this, then... you know, and it's like, I can't read.
Mr. Dowg.
Mr. Dowg. You know, I'm sure you've all heard of this, the... I believe it's FTC-funded Do Not Call List, National Do Not Call List. I believe, what was it, $16 million to create this database, good for 5 years. It'll also handle those what do they call that? That lag you get when the predictive dialers don't quite work very well.
It'll be funded by the $11,000 per call fine that they'll charge, but... The telemarketers have 3 months. They only have to update their list every 3 months. So once your number is on there, you can still get hammered for 3 months.
Yeah, there's a turnaround period, and on top of that, the clock starts supposedly when the phone connection's made, and they have 4 seconds to identify themselves by name and who they're calling for. And if they don't disclose that in the first 4 seconds, they're eligible to be fined.
4 seconds is actually a long time.
Yeah, and think about that pregnant pause. And then,
the pause alone is 4 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. One, two, three, four. I mean, that's not that long, really.
Yeah, when...
At the same time, you could say, my name is Joe Claude, and I'm calling for God, or whatever, you know.
Right. Yeah, in that amount of time. I also wanted to touch on... forgive if anybody's a salesman by trade, forgive me, but I find most salesmen to be slimy. And I actually received an email from Gluco, and it was a story about brutal interrogation tactics by a car salesman, actually detaining a customer. I think there's this is an extreme case, of course, and obviously I think there's something wrong with this certain customer.
Harry Damage thinks that Hal Worthington in California, so if you tried to leave the lot before they get one more chance at you, they have these little tire damage things that come up.
No way.
Get out of here. They did in 1995. I don't know if they anymore, but I worked at a car lot in Phoenix one time, and they had a rule. No client could leave the lot without the manager seeing them first. And they would assign the employees $100. I walked off the premises because a pregnant woman wanted to leave. And they grilled me, and they said, I'm going to fine you $100. And I said, look, if a water broke, we could have been sued. There's no way I'm going to coerce somebody not to be able to leave. I mean, a customer has a right to be able to leave if they want to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so in your face now. It's like Minority Report, the movie. I went to see a concert at America West Arena, and they were having those projected logos on the floor and video projections on the walls. I mean, it was just so, it was just so pervasive. It was like, constant sensory bombardment, and you have no privacy anymore.
That's scary. Yeah, and then if you combine stuff, I mean, think about this. Combine all of that together. You know, the Minority Report-like atmosphere of being out in public, the abusive salesman, everything.
Think about it. If you pay something, that should be subsidizing the cost of the service that you're buying. Why is it they're pimping all this other stuff on top of the fact that movie tickets, are like $8 or $10 unless you go to a matinee, and then you pay all that money. Now they got those crappy slideshows, these junky ads, and endless rotation, then some commercials, and then the trailers.
Yes. Yes.
It's even worse than that. It was with a buddy last night. We were going to catch a flick, and so we called Movie Phone. And it said, whatever, press 1 if you want to take the survey, and he presses something else, and you have to take the survey anyway.
Yeah.
No kidding.
So, I don't know if they're getting kickbacks from the cell phone company on running up your minutes or what.
Yeah, that's going to be on the next show. We're going to get that. Yeah, you buy you call TownMe to get movie times, and you have to listen to, and you can buy tickets using Fandango, No, give me to the goddamn movie times. It's not good, and I think, no offense to anybody, but Christmas epitomizes all of this.
What you were just saying about the paper on my fax, until every day I was realizing I was coming home with a bunch of junk faxes, and that's worse than getting rid of the junk calls. And the thing is, they're using all your material.
Yeah,
using your phone line.
Like it.
I mean, it's worse than a normal phone call because you can hang up on them, but this thing seizes your line, however many pages they're going to send you, and use your paper.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they were able to finally pass regulation to stop that, but they're saying, with spam, it doesn't really take and cost anything.
Right.
It doesn't
cost
you to receive.
Printing. Just think how much money it costs them to send you all that junk mail, the printing, the development of the material, and the mail. Just think.
Yeah, that's what subsidizes. If we didn't have the junk mail paying for things, it would cost $1 a letter. Because junk mail has been subsidizing the whole thing for years. And the post office will tell you that.
Yeah, but snail mail, should be for when you really need to send atoms somewhere, and bits are far more economical. I mean, I can send video, I can send, pictures, I can send audio, I can send text. I mean, that's 20 times better than me sending a letter by snail mail and having them mutilate it or lose it or do it late.
Right, and if I was going to mail something, and it was physical, and I wanted it to get somewhere safely, properly, timely, I would pay that extra money. That is the whole point. It is, to me, it's shipping. Right now, it's not mail right now, it is shipping. When I am sending something physical through any type of shipping system, whether it be USPS, FedEx, whatever, it is shipping to me, and that's what it should be, and people should, I would gladly pay more to not get the junk that I get and to see our nation's resources wasted.
I got in trouble with the IRS one time because they claimed they had not gotten my payment. And I learned that inadvertently because a year after I had paid them, I was trying to make a payment arrangement for this last year, and then they mentioned that I had not paid last year, and I explained to them that I'd sent a cashier's check. I even had a FedEx ticket. But you know what they wanted? They wanted a copy of the actual check, even though I had the stub. So I had to go to the bank, get another copy, do all this, And they said, well, you can't prove that, you know, we can't, you can't say that we didn't get what we, you didn't send or whatever. And I'm like, why can't you simply look and see, you know, what activity's been on my account? I had to do all this work. And I thought to myself, they're so incompetent, they cashed the check and gave it to someone else.
No kidding.
Someone else's account. But the onus was on me to prove it.
Well, you're still going to need snail mail to a certain extent. I mean, and it's worth, like Duel says, worth paying for it when you need it. It's like Duel orders his inflatable blow-up sheep doll. He has to get it to his house somewhere. And he has nothing to pay that.
Yeah.
That's right. I want the anonymity, you know, of getting these, you know, lifelike with fur blow-up dolls.
And to get back to the original about the scummy salesman, I think we had a real good example last week. Well, if anybody else watched the finale of Survivor, where you saw the scummiest ass knot in the entire world win $1 million for lying and cheating, as which is what he does for a living anyway, that sickens me.
You know what was bad, though?
What?
I don't really watch Survivor. You know what pissed me off? It didn't, they had no CSI.
They kicked out the chick with a big bruise. That's what pissed me off.
I didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, hey, I'm glad you guys are here to elevate the show, man. It's just...
I think it must be inside.
People. I mean, think about it. Look at what kids today aspire to be. You know, everything's merchandised to hell and back. Everybody has to identify with some character in a movie or identify with some character on a sitcom, and now the reality TV is one more step removed. It's like a damn hall of mirrors.
Yeah, it's scary is what it is.
You want to be like the dumb ass on this show who can't get laid, but he got $1 million because he had a bigger mouth and he's a better backstabber than the other guy or whatever.
It's scary. It is totally scary. I've never actually seen any...
Stay on.
I've never seen a reality TV show. I honestly don't know what people get out of it. I don't see the allure, honestly.
Most dishonest, most deceitful, most duplicitous backstabber gets rewarded. It's like the Romans, you know. It's like put people in an arena and let them bash their heads in.
That's why people are Christian, by the way. And it's,
sure.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, are you a cow or are you a sheep? It's still the same thing.
But, you know, they build those shows with people that they know are going to do those kind of things because that's what people like to see. People want to see somebody they can hate. People want to see somebody that they
can vicariously do that.
Yeah, you know, it's not a good message to send out, but hopefully, well, unfortunately, it's probably not true, but hopefully I like to believe that people are looking at it thinking, God, I hope I don't act like that guy, but instead what may be happening is people are like, man, I want to go do that, you know?
Yeah, because he wins. Yeah. He's the popular character or whatever.
Well, I still like to have some faith in human nature that maybe some people out there are actually learning the right thing from that.
Those are few and far between.
I know. The reality is you're probably right.
I think it's necessary for us as individuals to recognize that if we count on other people to walk in our shoes and show consideration, you know, we're going to die. But on the other hand, if we take the initiative to try to put a dent in the universe, then that might be just enough to start waking other people up and make them cognizant of that.
Are we doing that now? I mean, is that a self-centered question? I mean, hopefully we're doing something. Are we doing that now? And actually, I want to keep going and actually, you know, let's analyze the general public, you know?
That's what I mean. It's like this is no separation. Everybody who hears us does it and then tells other people to do it. It's like an infinite, you know, feedback loop, and eventually it would be so viral, it would just sweep our nation.
You know, it's only going to be viral to those people who are weak-minded enough to follow something simplistic as to watching some guy lie and cheat his way to $1 million. Those lemmings can follow that and walk right off the face of the fucking cliff. I couldn't care less, and I will live fine without them. I prefer to live by example, and yes, put out a positive thing, but by example, let them follow the good things that we are doing or trying to do.
Well, it's by example, exactly.
And the lemmings can fall off the cliff. I couldn't care less.
People don't want to speak up because they think there's a consequence. But if you have braveness, you can get past that.
I got news for you, folks. All we're doing is gratuitous auditory masturbation. We're just doing this to gratify ourselves.
Yeah. You know, I heard Sean Kay say something like that. This is all just for ego. We're all just stroking ourselves. We're stroking each other.
Wait a minute. I thought you guys told me a long time ago we did this for the chicks. Okay, now I want my money back.
23.
That's why, dude, guess what? That's why I get the blow-up dolls. There's no chicks, man. Sorry. You know, and maybe that's true, but no, it's not true. I loved Hackermind.
Amen.
Like nothing else. I waited. I waited I couldn't wait. Every Thursday night, I would come home, I would get in front of my computer, and I would listen to Hackermind. I loved it. More so than Off the Hook.
I mean, not necessarily to put down sports, because there's a lot of cool people who are into sports as well as other things, but I think it's funny that our country is conditioned to all buy into a consensus mob mentality, whether it be a sitcom or sports events or packaged music and stuff like that. It's a herd mentality, and they've been moving us in that direction. But if we show if you set an example and say, I'm living my life the way I want to live it, and I can be my own master, because the average slave, the real slaves in this world lock themselves in at night.
Yeah, they go home, they drink their beer, and they watch TV, and they go to bed.
Your life against the tide, and you do what you want, by example, not just amongst ourselves.
For the record, I'm just here for the trick.
Who played that? That is Lee.
I got it mute right here.
That is nice. Yeah, now...
We just had someone join the line, didn't we, a minute ago?
I thought so, too. I heard a hello.
Yeah, didn't someone just join them?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Was that Tuesday after you dropped out and come back?
And can you hear me, like, for the past, like, 15 minutes, and nobody's responded?
Are you serious? Are you on that cell still?
You know what? No, I was on this little phone, and then, like, nobody heard me, so I was, like, trying for, like, 5 minutes, and then I hung up.
Oh, man. We just heard you.
We're DOS and Zapper.
That's the snail.
I was the conline reject.
No, dude, that one phone was Vox. Was it that same phone that was Voxing out last time?
No, actually, this is the phone that Voxed out last time.
Well, it sounds pretty good. Okay, so I think we've determined that what we're doing is good. Whether we're stroking ourselves and each other is, I think, irrelevant. I wanted to hear more, so goddammit, I made more, and I hope I inspired somebody to do the same. So I have more Hacker Minds to listen to, because this kind of stuff, and we've beaten this to death. This kind of media, this alternative media, needs to exist.
And you've said it so many times about how you said, "Look, there's so much stuff out there that I look so forward to, and I decided to do it myself." And most people will think, oh, I don't know if it got anything to do with the show. Well, you don't have to do a show every day or once a week. You could do one show.
Yeah.
One subject. But yeah. One thing out there that's not being seen that you want to see or want to tell other people about.
Yeah, and if one person listens to it, and if it affects one person, you have done an immense amount of work against all this crap, against this tidal wave.
Writing, it's about posting and getting the ideas out there in any way, shape, or form, not just a show.
Yeah, not just one medium. That's the thing, is make your own postcards, make your own handbills, make your own flyers, paper walls,
music,
tape
subliminal messages.
That's right, and play them over retail intercom systems. You know, I would take the Rant Radio flyers that they made up, and I would go around to bookstores. You know, they've got boards, and I'd place them on the boards. You know, you got to do that kind of stuff. You got to let people
marketing,
know.
And I think that's the basis for the alternative community. Because let's face it, we don't own the playing field, so we have to make our own playing field. Those are really good. Sean Baudrillard quote, I'd like to read it if we have just a second.
Please.
Should we pay? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It has to do with what Marshall McLuhan used to talk about, saying that the future war will not be a conventional world war. It will be an info war.
So
with that preface,
that's pretty vague, but...
Doing all the cards to itself, the system forced the other to change the rules of the game. And the new rules are ferocious because the game is ferocious. See, that's the thing, is people have been conditioned to be cattle and be consumers. We used to grow our own food. We used to build our own stuff. We used to have our own culture.
Well, I grew up in a 32-acre farm. We still grow our own food. So don't act like that's disappeared. It's just that, unfortunately, it's been encroached upon, and they're passed so many bullshit laws that makes it unmanageable to do that for yourself anymore. So,
All right, Zapper. Zapper's trying to get in again. We can't do it. All right, Zapper, go ahead.
I was going to tell you, Duel, we should call up that Allen guy and advertise Rant Radio for $22,000.
Who's Allen?
Remember the Allen, the Spam King?
Oh, yeah. I totally agree.
You know what, Duel? If I may interrupt for a second, I think this is my cue to cut out.
All right, man.
Sound card is dying. It was very fun talking to everybody.
This
but
is awesome. Thanks for joining us, Stank.
Carry on.
All right, man.
See you later.
Bye.
Bias, you still with us?
I'm here, news.
Bias, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Right on, right on. Yeah. You know, I actually wanted to touch on religion and what I really think about Christmas and all this stuff and what religion does, but...
Oh, God Incorporated.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to. I'm just going to avoid it. I'm just going to have to...
It's self-evident.
But I just have one question related to religion.
Yeah, please.
Can anyone tell me what religion God is?
God does not discriminate. I mean, that's the thing about monotheism, is each religion says it has a monopoly. Like, all the others are bullshit, and we're the truth. And each one says that.
Right.
So there's a great line from the song. It was Richard Harris. I mean, it's an old 70s type of thing, but it's called "There's Too Many Saviors on My Cross," which is actually really interesting. If you want to get an MP3, that's really interesting to listen to. But... you know, and basically he's either, you know, God or Jesus, depending on where it is through the song. And, but anyway, so he goes, I am not orange, I am not green, I'm a half-ripe fruit needing both colors to survive. So, definitely recommend that, considering, you know, we got on the topic of religion. Just, download that sometime and listen to it. Pretty heavy.
Today's, Rax comment is brought to you by Energizer.
Thank you, Zapper.
Oh, did you see they changed the EverReady logo?
No, why? What'd they change it to?
Yeah, jumping through the nine with the lightning bolt tail, and they got rid of it.
Why? Was it satanic or something?
Yeah, I used to use that as one of my avatars for Cat 9, and they got rid of the EverReady logo when I was standing in line looking at batteries, and I was like so heartbroken. I'm like,
what is it now?
I can't even remember. It's just some generic-looking type, and I just thought it was so cool, you know, real quirky, and it's like they want to make everything so... average now. They're so afraid of rough edges or things being distinctive. They want everything to conform to the same homogenous, you know, order of mediocrity.
Right. One logo, one logo for all. A logo for the U.S. Yeah, what's our logo? We're a brand, aren't we?
I think we should always be in a state of flux. Never, you know, an artist is always a moving target.
Ooh, I'm glad you said artist. I've been walking the walk. I mean, literally, I put my money where my mouth is. I've recently been to a couple of art shows, you know, smaller art shows, you know, smaller artists. I've loved it. It was so much fun. And one artist in particular, he made art in metal, of course, using plasma cutters, welders, you know, iron workers. And I loved his art. Of course, it wasn't very expensive. I couldn't afford it, but just the fact that I got to look at it, enjoy it, talk to the artist, that is a huge, huge thing. I got to talk to him. He had some great pieces. He had one. Out of metal, he had made like a tiger's face with glowing green eyes. Another one was, he had it on the floor, and I don't know if that had some meaning, but it was called Paranoid, and it was a screaming face, you know, that he had made out of metal. It was beautiful. Another art show. Actually, I'm going to grab this piece. God, I almost fell over here. Okay, I bought this piece. It was this woman, and she goes trashing. She goes trashing for old pieces of technology. And, yeah, it's awesome. And she says she has a table, and she puts out all this stuff. And then she takes other organic objects and combines them, this old technology that she trashes for, and then combines them with other, you know, everyday objects. This one's actually not too everyday. I'm holding it in my hand. This is a piece I bought from her. It was only $15. It's beautiful. It's a VHF, UHF wiring block, basically, you know, like for a splitter, right? Signal splitter. And she took that out, and then she wired a bone on the back of it and then hung some rings from it. It's awesome. I mean, a bone and a VHF, UHF signal splitter. And she combined them into this one beautiful piece of art I hold in my hand.
Get a picture of it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I will take a picture of it. I mean, the art that she makes is awesome. She would take old circuit boards and then combine them with other things. She would just take pieces. She's wearing some around her neck.
To me, that is so ethical, because when you think of how many things we throw away, I don't know what that saying is about one man's garbage and another man's treasure, but it's so true. I mean, think about the third world, you know, just digs through landfills and garbage heaps, and they reuse things that we throw away. We ship garbage out of the United States, and it's so cool when you see somebody not necessarily recycle something like melt it down, but actually take something and use it for an innovative, you know, quirky kind of thing. You know,
actually, like, you know, Meme, it's unfortunately it's worse than that. We ship all this stuff over to China and India, and they do very unsafe, very unhealthy ways of extracting, like the gold and the and everything else from it, and they're getting sick and they're poisoning their water and the land is poisoned.
Well, that's the thing. It's recycling, sadly, is kind of a paradox, because what it takes to repurify complicated processed materials creates so many chemical byproducts, like paper. When you try to redeem pulp, you got to get all that ink and all these chemicals out of it, and it's very environmentally dangerous. And we're putting that stuff in landfills, or we're burning it, and it's like we're not thinking. And when you see people reuse things,
yeah, we're dumping it in the ocean.
What they originally intended, but some innovative way, whether it's for a building material or a piece of furniture or a piece of art, it, that's so much more ethical than cutting down another tree or smelting more metal.
Yeah, or don't buy as much. You know, I don't need much. I don't buy a lot. I don't have infinite wants. I really don't. I have pretty much everything I want. I don't need a lot. And if I may, if anybody is good, a group of people is good at reusing, you know, what other people don't want, that group would be hackers. Hackers and freaks, man. I mean, we trash. This artist trashes. You know, she was a hacker in my mind. You know, and she made beautiful pieces of art from it. We definitely do that. I know I've reused a lot of stuff I've got out of dumpsters.
I love every... My biggest problem is I think my roommate thinks I'm obsessive compulsive because I never throw anything away. And it's because, you know, it's like, why should I? You know, it's like, it's such a waste. That I could give it a better home. If someone else needs something, I'll give it away to them. It's like I've got a monitor. In fact, if anybody wants a 19-inch monitor, I've got one I'm willing to give away.
Hey,
at home.
I'll be in town next week. I'll be in town. Now, Bios, you ever gone trashing?
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
I really want to, but I haven't found the time to do it.
I would say you're a pretty busy man. By the way, Bios, and I don't know if everybody here knows this, runs digitalrights.org. I think
it's down right now.
Yeah, the DNS entry doesn't work, but you've got another link. I'll put that temporary link up, and the new site looks great. A great place to go. I would go there, you know, weekly at least to see what's going on. You know, to get the good comments as well. You know, to see what else people are. You know, to see what people are thinking about the issues that are going to affect hackers and freaks. So definitely check out digitalrights.org. We will put that temporary link up, so you can go there and register and check that site out.
No, it's such a shame that not only did the people not get a chance to look at the whole Homeland Security Act, but the lawmakers themselves did not get to see the document before they voted on it.
That was really bad how they shoved that through.
Yeah, it was a sham.
But see, the problem is if they saw it, it wouldn't have gotten approved.
This
you
is
think?
A military coup.
It's all September 11th. I mean, they used that so much to shove shit through Congress. It was amazing.
Yes.
That problem, reaction, solution paradigm, if you have an idea that you want to implement that would be highly unpopular or receive a lot of criticism, you're not going to introduce it. What you will do is create a or take advantage of a problem that
exactly.
Is being mismanaged or neglected, something happens, opportunistically, you take advantage of it, and then you introduce a draconian or some kind of what would be popular, kind of remedy, and say, oh, look, we're going to have smallpox vaccinations.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like they're going to reintroduce a live virus back into the human genome, back into the ecosphere.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they make the problems. It's like if you fill up a hole, you have to dig another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Y2K. It's like, you know, perfect example of that. That didn't, you know, it turned out to be largely remediated, but it was so foolish because our whole paradigm is looking good right now.
Yeah. That was
I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to have a bad, shareholders report for this quarter, so I'm not going to spend no money solving problems. I'll just pass it on to the other poor swabs.
Yep. Or even worse than that, you mortgage the future to look good in this quarter.
Exactly.
Oh, all the time.
Ooh,
hello.
That is a good quote.
Hello, Quest. Everybody knocking on Quest is at the door. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, you guys want to talk a little technology? I actually have a little bit.
Cool.
I've got something I want to talk about, actually. Actually, just before the show, Of course, everybody knows about Nopix. Beautiful distro. Genius, I think. I bought a magazine I read and I really love. It's from the UK called Linux Format. It's a little pricey, but you get a couple of CDs usually and they have good stuff
magazine
on it.
Magazine is the shit.
Isn't it awesome?
Not only do you can get two CDs, you can get a DVD.
Yeah, you get a DVD with even more on it. And for $14, of course, that's, you know, importing price. It's a little pricey, but it's a good read. It's a really good read. And this month, they included Demo Linux, which is a Debian-based distro that runs off a CD, you know, trying to be Nopix. It's not quite Nopix, unfortunately. I'm just going to compare what I know on this box right in front of me that I used it on.
Nopix processors, too.
What's that?
Is it Intel exclusive, or will it run on AMD?
It
or,
is. It's an x86 distro. I don't know if there is like a Nopix that'll run on a you know, like a PowerPC or a RISC processor. I'm not sure, but this is x86. I'm going to compare it again to Nopix. Nopix, of course, has KDE. It's again Debian based, KDE 3. Everything worked on pretty much every box I ever tried it on. Everything works, sound, networking. This again Debian based has KDE 2.1, I believe 2.1.2 actually. It did not find my network interface, the integrated Intel network interface. That was kind of bad, really bad, actually. Other than that, it's very similar. You know, I don't mind using the older KDE. It looks pretty much the same. It works really well. It didn't boot as fast. Other than that, it did find my sound, which is nice. Sound worked. But, again, it didn't find the network, and I know that this integrated Intel NIC is very common. So, you know, I can't really, as long as Nopix is out there, I can't really endorse Demo Linux. It's really good. If you just need to show somebody Linux, or you need to do something in Linux, or you need a rescue disk, Demo Linux is good. But if you need to actually get on a computer somewhere, get on the internet, I don't recommend it. So that is Demo Linux. You can get it with this month's Linux Format magazine.
Yeah, I got something to throw in there, too.
Do it.
I'm going to end on this call because it seems that my comments are being filtered out.
Your comments are being filtered out? What are you talking about?
I've been talking.
Seriously?
Yeah, I've been making comments and stuff, so I'm just going to... I did hear you get cut off a couple times.
Oh, man, I'm very sorry, Zapper.
Oh, it's all good. Enjoy the holiday special. I'll be definitely listening in.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for joining us. This, you know, this was pretty difficult, having this many people on, you know, and trying to yak about stuff, so...
Especially with ADHD, I apologize if I'm part of it.
It's all good, man. It's fine. I was just... I guess I'll leave the target information for another time. And
wait, you got it right now?
Yeah, I do.
Dude, well, bust it, man. This is the technology segment. This is now you, all you.
Well, I decided to pull certain information. I didn't know what you guys really wanted, so I just grabbed everything that I could get my hands on. Most important stuff is the PDT, the little gun that you guys like to play around with. I found out everything that it's running. It uses a wireless network based on the Novell TCP IP. The config is called Avalanche Config. It's all based on DHCP server. And grabbed a bunch of different information. It was transport 970611 version 5.0. Special features that you guys might want to play with is NOP. That basically allows you to scan in any UPC or any number, and it will give the exact location in the store.
Okay, you know what? I think we might have solved the problem right now, and that you're really, really low. You need to use your big-time radio voice, especially over the phone into the recorder. So speak up if you can.
Is this any better?
That's much better.
Okay. Other than that information, I didn't know what you guys wanted to know. I played a lot with it, so if you guys have any questions specifically as to what it does.
Yeah, I do. You said it uses TCP/IP with DHCP server. So each one of those little guns has its own IP?
Yes, it does. It's off the Novell network, though, so it's a little bit different in that manner of speaking.
Right.
The wireless network that I run off of, I can walk completely outside the store and clear across the parking lot, and the thing will still work.
Wow, so they're really transmitting stuff. Do you know what frequency it uses?
A lot of repeaters, or if they have more powerful antennas.
There's three repeaters. I guess there's not really three repeaters. There's two. There's one inside the main station, which is inside the office, and there's two across the building.
Yeah, because they have so many other sources of interference in a lot of these buildings and with the building materials.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll go into, like, you know, you go into a big store like Walmart, and you'll get no cell service.
If they have anything that's mission critical, they can't have any rate of failure, so they're going to probably be over-engineered, and unfortunately, until they can lock up the network, it's going to be, you know, easy pickings.
Yeah, I figured that would be one of your guys' biggest key points is people may want to break out a laptop and see if they can find a emulator software that'll work based on this stuff, and literally, there's only one fallback, and there's a username and password on it. But other than that, it's all set up DHCP. There is no minimum maximum requirements, because some days we have a certain number, other days we don't. So you can pretty much, from the parking lot, and I'm assuming this is the same for most stores, sit there, and there's nothing checking it.
What, do you know what frequency is it running on? Is it 2.4?
I believe it is, but I am not fully sure yet. I'm still working with other people to figure out exactly what is.
Sure. You know, I've got a free counter. I'll bring one to town maybe, and we can go and check that out. Now, I'm sure, now everybody, whenever you go, if you ever go to one of these big stores, you know, and sometimes you have to. You know, you have to buy things to live, unfortunately. Look up on the walls, like Best Buy, right when you walk in the front door, turn around and look up, and on that big wall you'll see one of these repeaters, see one of these, you know, like a WAP, on poles in big stores like Kmart and Walmart.
I'm almost, too. They'll be on the ceiling, like on a suspended ceiling, and they look very much like a, you know, a little smoke detector or a surveillance camera, but then they're actually an antenna.
Very nice. What other, now, I got a question. Do those little things run DOS? Can you get a DOS prompt on those little guns?
No, they're running off their own little operating system. It's basically boots in like a router would. It runs its own config file, and then it boots right up to... It's kind of like, I guess you would call it a Cisco router. It first loads itself, and then gives its little copyright, yada, yada, yada.
Huh.
And then it boots right up into the config file. Now, I don't know how to get it to not boot that config file so I can see what it goes to default. But it loads a config file that it'll then try to sign on to the DHCP server. It'll get it. It'll enter username, password. Username is shown. Password is not. It looks like it's about 6 characters long. So I'm assuming, you know, I won't say it because it's probably not a wise idea, but
sure.
You can take a few guesses at what it might be. And after that, you log completely in, and you pretty much have access to the main store's computers. It's all their entire database.
Wow. Well, are they running, like, IBM backend, I'm assuming?
Oracle, maybe.
They wouldn't tell me. I specifically asked for curiosity reasons, because I was sitting there with Cisco books, and I was asking the guy, and he didn't know, so.
Dude, maybe you can accidentally walk inside their network room one time. Oh, whoops, I didn't know this is what is in here. Sorry.
What I'm curious about is obviously their back end, you know, like their mainframes or larger systems are going to be 24/7, but you have to wonder if the wireless network, which is really a different tier, is always on or not. They might bring that down for security reasons, or they may not.
That is a good question.
If you went there at like 3:30 a.m., you know,
right, and sat outside and see what was going on.
Less network utilization, so you would have better bandwidth than you would ordinarily have.
Actually, the store itself is open. I mean, to customers, it's only open during the store hours, but the store itself has 24/7 people in it.
No kidding. So they're
working.
Yeah, so that network is running.
It's probably it's a skeleton crew though.
Actually, the night crew for the size of the store has roughly 50 people at night running around.
Oh, kidding.
It's bigger than I thought.
Well, they're restock, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all the... They basically pull in shipments.
Yeah, it has to be a clockwork, I guess, because if you think about it, how many times during the daytime have you seen large tractors backed up to retail establishment? Because
right.
That really creates a bottleneck, when you have a truck try to you know, maneuver and mowed in and come in through a big parking lot and that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they basically do that in the middle of the night or something.
Yeah, everyone has to come in at night. I used to work at Jewel. Everyone comes in at night. Everything has to come in at night, or you totally mess up. You wouldn't mess up the parking structure because it's a different parking lot where I work, but...
Yeah, not to mention, having the workers, you know, with pallet jacks, you know, stacked full of boxes going through the aisles. You'll run into that in 24-hour stores, of course.
Yeah, right,
about
of course.
The move towards inventory, so, because now we're so thin that everything's pretty much a one- or a two-day inventory, like with food retail, for instance. You know, they have about a day and a half, 2 days supply of food because, with perishables or just the fact they don't want that much, you know, capital laying around. They want to have a just-in-time inventory.
Just-in-time, very nice. Zapper, that is some very good information. You know what I want information on? I said I was going to write an article about this. The gift registries they have at Target, they have new gift registries, NCR, stand-up NCR boxes, and there's actually, you know, a Cat 5 port, you know, an RJ45 jack, you know, very accessible right behind these boxes. I actually wanted to, and it has internet access, so I actually wanted to plug in one time if I could. I know there's no way, you know, that'd be so conspicuous as to not be feasible, but...
All these kiosks, I've been in stores where they want to put a kiosk in a position where it's impractical to have it tethered, and they seem to be utilizing, wireless technology occasionally.
I've only seen wired, but boy, I'd love to see a wireless one. Now, Zapper, you got any info on those registries?
I do have a little bit of info that I found curiously interesting about the network. Both the network for the PDTs and the several other things run off of a host name, and the interesting host name is a 16-digit number, which by all means I haven't had a chance to write down, .tgt.com.
Really? Now, I found that actually in a lot of retail networks like Safeway, quite a few. It was Sears. I'd mess around with the Sears network a little bit, and they would do that, especially their internal networks. Yeah, I've seen that a lot, but a 16-digit number... Yeah, I wonder what that's comprised of. I'd really like to know what that number's comprised of. If it's like store number, zip code, and something else, you know?
I'm also real curious if they have a CHCP server. Just, you know, how big a pool of IP leases do they have?
Yeah. And who's their provider? That's what I want to know. You know, I've got some... Well, we'll say that for another time.
So if it specializes in doing it for certain types of clients. Yeah, because they have to have predictability of utilization.
Right, they've got to know what they're getting into. Have you messed with the phone system at all, Zapper?
Yeah, that one I was going to leave a little curiously out of the comments until I found out if it was universal across stores.
Right.
Because I do know the numbers that allow you to get anything from the walkie-talkies to the overhead.
Oh, very nice. That's always fun.
They're also the... It seems to be almost weirdly based on a large PBX because if I dial, for example, 716, I am now talking to Gilbert stores.
Yeah, it's usually how they work that, or they usually have a 700 numbers that you can call, interstore calling, you know, usually within the same toll center. Actually, you know what? I don't think that's true. I was actually, and this is on the Stank Dog forums in the retail hacking section. I was at office, one of those crappy office places, and when I was, I was of course reading off of their, you know, proprietary paperwork and learning about their 700 system, it makes it sound like you can call nationwide from any store in this, I think it was Office Max.
Yeah, their own private networks a lot of times.
Yeah, and it's, and...
You can be in Colorado 1 minute and be in California another, or Arizona.
Yeah, well, calling just the 700 number from one of their phones. I thought it was just a, within the same toll center, you know, but I don't believe so. I believe that you can call anywhere on most of these big networks, like Home Depot has the same kind of network, again, Office Max, I forgot who else, I've run into some others, but Office Max is crazy. I mean, you could call districts, you could call, it has to be nationwide, because they had districts, regions, stores, faxes, all with the 700 numbers, so.
You can get into their voicemail, a lot of times you can make a long distance call, there's an option a lot of times in voicemail retrieval that allows you to make a call, and I'd be real curious about whether they block certain tolls or not.
Yeah.
Well, if you let me know how to do that, you can just message me.
Okay.
Actually, Dual, if you could forward my, the Hotmail account I have now.
Yeah.
if you could forward the Old School Freak account to that.
Okay.
You can either email me or you can private message me on the Stank Dog forums on how to check that, and I can definitely go through and easily check that.
Nice. We will do that.
I'm going to drop out.
All right. Hey, Bios, thank you very much for being on the show. Send me, if you could, actually, I think it's on the forums. I'll try to dig it up. If not, send me that link, and I'll get it up on the site for the new DRF.
Okay, thanks.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for being on.
Hey, it was a blast.
Later, man.
Yeah. See you next year.
See you next year. Man, I got that so much at work. I love that. Yeah. Hey, you too.
Hey, Duel, I got something. Can I talk about the radio?
Please do.
Okay, this is what's up. I'll actually do both segments I was going to talk about. We had a 20, well, we basically had someone like what Duel had, a 26, 25, 50 meeting. We call it a web development meeting, where we just all meet and talk. My friend Etox, major props to him. He informed us all about some radios that Radio Shack just bumped down from $80 to $20. Mm. Now, that's pretty cool. They're business band radios. The part number on them is, I have it right here, is 19-1207. These are business band radios. The pimpest thing about them is that the batteries aren't your standard nickel cadmium batteries. These are nickel metal hydrate. Now you're saying to yourself, what the fuck is nickel metal hydrate? Nickel metal hydrate is rechargeable, but better. It doesn't have the effect where you have to discharge the nickel cadmiums completely. This whole the memory effect. You have to, you can charge them whenever, in and out. As simple as that, and they last a hell of a lot longer. The other
they don't have any kind of memory, so like if you're, like you're regular on your charges, that doesn't degrade them?
No, doesn't at all. It's very solid batteries. The funny thing is, these are 20. They were marked at 80. The batteries themselves are worth 30. So you're getting a deal there if you can find them. They're very easy to find. They're still actually marked at 80. I don't know how you figured this one out, though. The funny thing is, in the back, you take the back off. there's a tab back there labeled quiet for the quiet tone or PL tone. Bring that up. You can change the frequency. It tells you how to do that in the manual. We're going to attempt to... there's another, and then there's one with a screw, and then there's six other switches. We're attempting to figure out what those do, and we're betting that we can get the rest of the business band on them as well. The other cool thing is he's working on actually another hack, which is basically is all the frequencies of the UHF band, but we're not going to talk about that right now, but it's still going to be fun, and basically if we're done with this, you're going to have a $20 ham radio.
Dude, that'd be so nice. And the 70 centimeter, correct?
70 centimeters, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So the cool. So pick up those $20 a piece. You can get four for one.
Whoa! I thought I heard Zapper.
Heck, roll.
Zapper, did I hear you?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you say, "Oh man"?
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, because you saw my post right on the Stank Dog forum.
No, what was that?
Of the ham radio thing.
Which one?
Trying to get into it, but can't support a radio.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I got and you brought this up first. Hamfest, man. That's where I got my 440. And dude, I think I paid like 20, 30, maybe $40 for it. I mean, you go to Hamfest, you find these old guys with their spare radios. You know, even if it is single band, 2 meters better.
Want to give it a good home. It's like a community. So a lot of times they it's just like people who own Mercedes-Benzes. They go to Mercedes-Benz meets and they sell them to other autophiles because they want somebody who will appreciate it as opposed to just pay whatever it's worth as a commodity.
Exactly. Okay.
Well, guys, I'm going to head out because I got some other things I need to do. I was just trying to hang in as long as I can.
Right on, man. Thanks, Zapper. Thanks for that info. And please, feel free to write and or publish.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be working on that. I just got to make sure that before I release that information that it is universal so people don't go trying it.
Right on. And don't release anything that gets yourself in trouble.
I never do.
Right on, man. All right, Zapper, thanks for joining us, man.
Take care and enjoy the holidays however you may celebrate it.
Late, man.
See you.
See ya.
All right, so who do we have left? Of course, Duel. We've got Mute, Meme. Rax, you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The second... part of my adventure was, as I was waiting in line for the Radio Shack employee, if you will, to find my radios, it took her a good 10 minutes to find them, extra consulting other people, a girl behind me said, where are the prepaid phone cards? The man directed the prepaid phone cards. She's about to pay for one. The guy said, can I have your name, please? I said, I thought in my head, I'm not supposed to do that shit anymore.
Right.
I'll keep quiet. I won't make a show. I'll wait till this is done. She said, oh, wait, these are the wrong type of phone cards. I said, okay, fine. I asked the guy, you're not supposed to ask that anymore, aren't you? But what happened? He said, oh, well, that's true, but only on certain things like contractual agreements like phones. Mm-hmm. And then I thought in my head, prepaid phone cards, there's no contract. No, that's the basis for prepaid phone cards. Right. And I'm like, I'm like, okay, whatever. And that's bullshit. You're not supposed to take your name for a prepaid phone card.
Now, were these just landline phone cards, or is this like prepaid?
These were cell phone cards.
Okay, prepaid time on cell phone cards. Okay.
That's the one thing I've always hated about the Shack is them asking you for your personal information no matter what you buy. You could just buy a battery and they'll ask you your name and where
right.
you live and all
well,
that.
Well, they've supposedly stopped doing that, but...
They did. There's a sign up on one of them. There was the sign.
Right.
We will stop asking.
Yeah, I see that on all their, you know, their terminals that they use, but apparently, yeah, but why would they do it for these cellular phone cards?
Exactly.
Yeah, is the government saying, hey, please, you know, don't let anybody get prepaid cellular time without us knowing about it? Who knows? Why are they doing it?
I'll tell you one thing, though. When the whole Oklahoma City thing went down, they really played it up in the news about how Timothy McVeigh used a prepaid phone card that he bought at a convenience store.
Hmm.
What the fuck?
Was that cellular time or landline?
That was for any kind of use. You know, it was just one of those prepaid cards like you buy at Circle K or something like that.
Right.
I've got a new slogan for Radio Shack, by the way. You may have heard the, you know, thing, you've got questions, we've got answers.
Right.
I've got a new one for him. You've got questions, we have dumb blank stares.
Wait a minute, I've heard that before.
Mindless people working there, you can get stuff marked down, you can social engineer them really well because they'll mark something down because they think it's broken. You could switch the polarity on a battery and show it to them and say it's no good and they'll mark it down. I mean, I think that's kind of a fun thing to work with.
No, Ken, you've done that. That is nice. Actually, I
got a 2-year-old food processor exchanged for a brand new food processor by finding out that Williams-Sonoma does not track anything more than a product SKU, and if you pay cash, there's no record or nothing, and if there's a product that you just claim you bought with them, as long as it's a product that they sell, they don't check anything, and they'll give you a brand new one in a box.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding you. I turned in a 2-year-old food processor and got a brand new one in a box because I couldn't get a spare part for about 6 months, so I said, fuck it, and I decided I'm going to try to come up with something, and it worked.
Very nice. Now, I used to... This is before, now of course, almost every retail store you go to, they require a receipt for return, exchange, anything. Before this time, and this is actually a few years ago maybe, I would go to, I had a PlayStation, I would go to Target, and they would mark games down dirt cheap. I mean, they'd put the orange sticker on there, and it'd be, you know, $4, $7, whatever, dirt cheap. I would buy this game. I would then go to the Toys R Us, not a half mile away, where the games are just, the prices were inflated, $50 for one of these games I just paid $4, $7, and I would exchange it and get their rate for it and then go get whatever I really wanted. I used to do this a lot. Of course, it's more difficult now with the receipts. Apparently not. Apparently there's still ways around, around their, quote, retail security system.
Products that have a unique SKU that's intended for a particular retail channel. For instance, when I was talking about Williams-Sonoma, they have some products that are exclusive to them. And because of that, they will, in good faith, take a return without any documentation because so many places realize that they get irate customers because they screw up, you know, when, you know, receipt's wrong or gets, you know, read in wrong or scanned wrong or has the wrong code on it and then you have a dispute. And so they're trying to please the customer, but at the same time, that's something you can manipulate to your advantage.
Right.
When something breaks just inside, you know, just outside warranty or something like that.
What would you call that? What would you call their systems, their protocols, their procedures to basically keep their bottom line? I just ran into that. What do you call that? Is that like their profit security? What?
Customer retention.
It's called covering your ass.
Yeah. Straight up. Straight up, man.
Propaganda.
Propaganda
now.
I want to try some of these radios really quick. I don't know if you heard it or not, but I was keying up this radio, and I started hearing a buzzing in my phone.
Uh-huh.
I want to see if you guys hear anything when I do this, okay?
Do it.
Do you guys hear anything?
I heard a click.
Yeah, that was my whole... I put it right next to my phone. That was my whole handset dying.
Really?
Put my... I think it... Wait, let me check. Yeah, that just muted my whole handset.
That is so cool. I'm going to... Oh, never mind. I'm not on wireless. Never mind.
It muted my whole handset.
And is this one of those business radios?
Yeah. Hmm. The 460 megahertz. But... Yeah, it... For the handset.
That is so cool.
It's one step removed on the phone. It's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah. All I hear, I hear a click. That's all I hear.
That's the whole handset dying.
That's awesome. You're probably, like, damaging it right now. Huh. It's going to croak out. Now, what is today? Today's the... This is actually Sunday. We're going to be streaming this. Hey, Rex, can I stream this from your place?
Yeah, man.
Right on.
I'm with the bandwidth.
That's right. Big time bandwidth. So, this is Sunday... Let's see, is this like a sign that we're actually going to be streaming on Christmas?
That's all point appropriate.
Yeah, I just,
That's okay, there's also a $280 million Powerball drawing on Christmas. Talk about a Christmas present.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of Powerball drawings, wasn't it weird that on 9/11, the New York lottery came up as 9-1-1?
Yeah.
Chicago Mercantile came up as 9 1-1-0-0-0-0-something, I think.
Well, it's something a little weirder than that. Well, not really weird. I think if you guys can reach back to a few years ago when Michael Jordan was having a little issues with basketball and baseball, the pick four, which would be four numbers, one night was 2345, which was his old basketball jersey.
Right.
In his baseball jersey numbers.
Yes. That's very odd. All these conspiracies we'll never know. Why is Radio Freak America on Christmas Day? We don't know.
And why is it going to be on New Year's?
Is it going to be on New Year's too?
Because they're 1 week apart, I believe. Or maybe New Year's.
I haven't even looked at a calendar. I have no idea. Yeah, it's a sign, man. It's a sign that we're here to spread the message.
I saw the sign and it opened up my mind.
That's right. That we are not... sheep, and we do not want you to be sheep. That's why we're making the show, and that's why we're streaming it on Christmas Day. It will be there, and I hope you will be too.
How do you love?
That's right. Yeah, so I'm going to leave the show with a couple messages. One, I do this a lot, and no one's done it yet, and I'm still waiting. Actually, I've heard a couple of things. Actually, you got a friend, Kiroshi, is that he says his handle?
I just really want to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I actually sent him an email, so I'll get in touch with him soon. You can feel free to give my cell number. That's fine.
All right, cool.
And I want to see a show. That was one message. I want to see a show. I've heard a lot of people. Hey, I want to make one. I want to do this. Whatever. Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's do it. I want to see it. And second,
public access thing. That's something I kind of languished on.
Well, you know, here's what we're doing, man. I don't know if you know about this, but we're going to do a thing called DDP Hack TV. Stank Dog was just here. He's got a group. He's got a site. What we're going to do, we're going to tape all our stuff, you know, save it as AVI, send them to him. He's going to edit it together, and we're going to have, a Hack Freak show called, Internet show called DDP Hack TV, and we're going to make it as available as possible.
Give me some details, because I'd like to contribute on some kind of level.
Yeah, we'd love it, and you being a professional, that would add immensely to the enjoyment of the people that are going to download this show. We will. I'll get you all the information we can. You can always go to, and this for everybody else as well, go to stankdog.com/forums, and, get help, check out info about DDP Hack TV, this show, anything you want, so go there and check it out. The other message, and I'm holding it in my hand right now, is art. Do what you can. You know, we don't have the hacker art galleries up there just, because it's neat. You know, I have it there because you can be moved by the things you look at. You know, you can experience feelings and emotions from art, and not to mention, actually it is kind of neat. I mean...
And it's an escape from the monopolistic media because, just a small amount of stuff gets seen or heard out there, whereas... this is a platform for everybody.
Yeah, where else are you going to hear about this artist who goes trashing, and slaps on circuit boards onto bones, and you can wear it as a necklace? Where? So go and enjoy more than just your technology. I'm not saying technology can't be art, but You know, go to a museum, go to a small art gallery, go to an art show, and enjoy what this world has. So we got Mute, Meme, and Rax still with us, man. You guys have any closing messages?
No.
All right, man. Thanks, dude.
That's why they call him Mute, man.
Yeah, that's right. Meme?
Yeah.
Do you have anything in closing for our X-Mass special?
Whatever happened to Baby Meme?
To who?
To whatever happened to Baby Meme.
And Rax, you?
Well, as I would say, you know, that's kind of what we're doing and fighting for, and that is keeping knowledge free.
Yeah, thanks, Rax. Thank you all for joining, everybody that's not here and everybody that's here now.
Like the InfoWar.
Yeah, if that's what it's coming to, man, we're going to have to. Is that what we're doing, Meme, right now?
I think so, because you know, it's like the quote that I read earlier, you know, it's like, if the playing field is slanted 90 degrees against your favor, then maybe it's time to stop playing by their rules and make your own. Be the media.
That's what we're doing, because this is Radio Freak America.
Welcome to the virtual command environment. I'm the artificial intelligence who will be assisting you.
I want to get online. I need a computer.